Now for our story. Kit Mead, looking well-groomed as usual, but somewhat paler, hurried down the main street of Wakefield. It was almost 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she was anxious to get to the bank before it closed. As she went in, she saw one of the cashiers conferring with her uncle, David Bowman, in his little enclosure to the right. Kit started to go past, but David had already seen her. He called.
Oh, hello, Uncle David.
Hi, Kit. Won't you come in a minute?
Yes, if you'll wait until I cash the check. It's almost closing time, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Well, all right, then. You go ahead. Stop by when your business is taken care of, Kit.
All right.
5 minutes later, Kit returned, went through the little swinging gate with fenced in her uncle's domain, and sat down in the chair opposite his desk.
This is quite an event, Kit. Haven't seen you in a month of Sundays.
It has been April, hasn't it?
Let's see. I don't believe I've seen you since quite some time before you left for California. I guess all told, I haven't seen you to talk to for almost a year.
Oh, goodness, I didn't realize. I'm almost tempted to say how time flies. But I'll be sorry, won't you?
Still the same flippant Kit, I see.
You didn't expect that I might have changed, did you, Uncle David? Or should I say, hope that I might have?
My hope for you, Kit, always concern your best interest. Tell me about the baby.
Oh, gladly. Although I'm afraid I can't add much to what you must already know. I gather that you've seen quite a lot of Bill recently. He must have kept you informed as to what goes on.
Yes, I've seen Bill. You tell me the baby's a healthy little type. What do you mean, him, Kit?
I don't know yet. Haven't decided. I have a theory that names are quite an important influence on a person's life.
Perhaps they are, but
look at me. Kit. What is Kit to get?
Well...
a cat. And you see how I turned out.
Kit, I wish you wouldn't take this expensive attitude with me. Try to joke about everything.
Well, what else can I do? I know what you must think of me. And I can imagine the stories you've been getting from Bill. Now that he's going to work for you and everything, I understand you've become fast changed.
I do see quite a lot of Bill. And it's quite true that we are very good friends.
Well, that rather puts us in opposite camps to begin with, Uncle David. You can hardly expect me to bear my soul to you under the circumstances.
I understand how difficult your present situation is. But it's good
only... it's very nice, Uncle David. If you think you can reform me at this late date, you're terribly wrong.
It's not that I want to reform you, Kit. I just hate to see you doing this to yourself.
I presume you're referring to my trouble with Bill. Naturally, you would blame it all on me, having gotten the story from him.
No, Kit. I don't blame it on you. Besides, Bill's done his best to be fair about this thing. And anything he's told me has been as close to the impersonal truth as is possible for a man to get. And he's deeply affected.
Oh, certainly. Bill is the perfect gentleman.
Gentleness isn't the answer, Kit. Neither is sarcasm.
Well, if you know the answer, I wish you'd tell me what it is. At the present moment, I'm not sure myself. I haven't even seen Bill for several days. If he's managed to reach some conclusions, he hasn't bothered to let me in on them.
You know, Kit, whether you confide in me or not, I am part of the family. And as such, I feel I have the right to speak to you quite plainly.
I thought that was what you were getting around to. Well, go ahead, Uncle David.
You're still very young, Kit. You're not old enough to see anything, especially yourself, with a perspective as clear as mine. I only wish you could see yourself as I do. Could know how much you've changed. I do know, because I have the advantage of remembering you as a little girl.
I was a brat. That doesn't prove much.
No, Kit. You weren't a brat. You were willful. You wanted your own way. But there was a side of you, Bill. The side you inherited from your mother. Which might have developed into something rather wonderful.
You mean I'm a sort of female adopted people in Mr. Hart? And when I see Mr. Hyde's side is predominant.
Let's say you have the Kathleen side and the Ben side. And the Ben side got the upper hand. I sometimes wonder how your mother would feel if she could see what's happened to you.
Oh, look, if you don't mind, let's admit the creation, shall we? I'm not up to it today.
So that's it. I won't mention your mother. I can imagine that it does make you feel pretty low, knowing how far away you've gone from everything Kathleen believed in.
I think I'd better go. This isn't getting...
Wait a minute. We haven't talked for a long time, but perhaps we won't again for another long time. There's some things I feel I must tell you. If you think I'm wrong, well, at least I know that I've done the best I could.
All right. It will help to clear your conscience.
Good. Are you really in love with Bill?
Now, just what do you think?
Well, I believe you think you are. But I wonder, are you sure it's real love?
If it isn't, all I can say is it's a very good facsimile.
My impression is, and has been from the beginning, that you want Bill for your own reasons. At least I think Bill simply represented the test to you of your own powers.
What do you mean by that?
You knew he was in love with Peggy Douglas. And you set out to prove to yourself and anyone else who was interested that you could take him away from him.
I didn't have to prove anything to myself. But I wanted Bill, yes. I've never made any bones about that.
And now that Bill realizes what happened and has a very natural resentment because of it, you're determined to make things difficult for him, to refuse to give him his divorce for pretty much the same reason, to prove you can hang on to him.
You don't pull your punches, do you, Uncle Davis?
Well, I think it's time someone spoke out and told you how your behavior appeals to an unprejudiced person.
If you can call yourself unprejudiced.
I do, Kit. My friendship with Bill has nothing to do with my opinion of you. You may not believe it, but I'm deeply fond of you, my dear. That is, I'm fond of something which I know is present in you. If you'd only let it come out, not be afraid of it.
Is that all?
Yes, Kit. There isn't much else I can say.
Well, then I have a few things to tell you. Then you'll know my side of it as it looks to me.
That's fair enough.
All right, then. In the first place, the way I think, there are two sorts of people. Strong people and weak ones. The weak people may have their virtues, but they have to be told or shown what to do. They need to be guided.
Isn't that a sort of super race philosophy, Kit? Much like the one that started the war.
Oh, let's not get off on a tangent. This is merely my own personal philosophy. All I mean is that according to what I know of him, Bill Meade falls into the class of people who need to be guided. That doesn't mean he's not a nice boy, even sensitive.
You're wrong about Bill. What you've done is to mistake Bill's innate decency, his desire to give the other fellow a break, for weakness.
Oh, nonsense. You know very well that if you're nice to people, give them a break, as you call it, they turn right around and stab you in the back. You're a businessman.
That's not the sort of business I do. Thank you, Kit. I'm deeply shocked to hear you talk like that. You're in a much worse state of mind than I ever dreamt.
Well, regardless of what you think, Uncle David, I knew what I wanted when I married Bill. And I don't intend to give him up now. I'm not going to give him a divorce so he can go rushing back to Peggy Douglas. And if the fact that he has a son means nothing to us, if you insist on going through with this foolish idea about a divorce, I'll fight him every inch of the way.
Kit, how can you allow yourself to be so blind? It's only possessive jealousy. You can't really love Bill.
I don't love him in the mystery, starry-eyed way you'd understand. But I do love him. He's important to me. He's something I happen to need in my life, and I don't intend to let him go without a struggle. Moreover, I have Dad to help me. And he's very effective when he gets underway. As you should know.
Yes, Kit, I know only too well.
Hmm? Now that I've made myself quite clear, I think I'll be on my way, Uncle Booty. And if your friend Bill Meade asks any questions about our talk, you're quite welcome to quote me as freely as you like. Goodbye, Uncle David.
Goodbye, Kit. Goodbye.
David Bowman watched Kit's retreating figure sadly. His talk with his niece had shocked him, had confirmed his conviction that the best thing that could possibly happen would be for Bill Meade to get the divorce and the custody of the baby boy who was believed to be his own by everyone in Wakefield. That is, everyone but Kit Meade, who had taken the baby from Lisa Fenner by trickery.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.